Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
I grew up in Montana in the 80s. And being the only girl at home with 10 brothers who also loved to tease my very dramatic younger self, we lived in the mountains and most of our fun came from imagination and whatever happened to be around us. We didn't have TikTok, Reels, or anything to copy dumb ideas from. We just came up with them on our own. And back then the phone was attached to the wall with a really long cord and we grew up on a party line. And if you don't know what a party line is, you can Google it later. But one of the things that we love to do, which we found endlessly entertaining, involved an old bathroom mirror. It was a pretty big mirror, and we would hold it at our waist, and we would look down into it while we were trying to walk across the floor. As we walked, we would find ourselves laughing hysterically because no matter how hard we tried to walk normally, our bodies refused to cooperate. In the mirror, we could always see the light fixtures, the door frames, and the archways that were in our path. And then our legs would lift higher than normal, attempting to step over these things that were not actually there. We knew the floor was flat. We knew nothing was in our way. And yet our bodies continued to respond to what we were seeing. Now, at the time, this was simply entertaining for us. We didn't think to analyze it. We just enjoyed it. But looking back now, I have a much clearer understanding of what was happening in the body. Even when our logical mind knows what is real, the body responds to what it perceives. Now, the body does not respond to logic. It responds to the input it is given. It takes in information and it behaves accordingly, whether that information is real or imagined. Our bodies, we're responding to sensory data. Our eyes were sending information, and the body was doing exactly what it was designed to do based on what it received. Now, this matters a lot because so much of what we have been taught about weight loss, it assumes the opposite. Now, most of us have been taught that the body must be overridden, controlled, or even disciplined. We are taught that when the body does not comply with our plans, the rules, or even our timelines, the issue is that we lack willpower or that we have failed in some personal way, rather than questioning whether the instructions themselves are flawed. Now, that memory with the mirror taught me something fundamental. When the body reacts, it is revealing the conditions it has been programmed to respond to. And that brings us to a question worth holding before we talk about food, dieting, or weight loss at all. What if the body has been responding correctly all along, but the instructions we have been giving it were wrong? What often goes unnoticed is the preparation that happens before a diet even begins. Most of us will prepare for a restriction. We assume life is going to shrink for a while in order to lose that weight. Social situations, certain foods, and experiences become temporarily off limits with the belief that once that weight is gone, life can return to normal. Now, a lot of diets turn into something we try to get through instead of something that we actually understand. There's usually a routine around it. We say, okay, starting Monday, we eat everything we think we won't be able to allowed to have, and we mentally prepare to be good for a while. That's when it gets hard. We assume it's a discipline problem, but most of the time it isn't. The body will sense the restriction, mainly because of the thoughts we're having about it. So it responds the way a smart body does. Thoughts about food increase, cravings get louder, your thoughts will go back to what you're trying not to eat. The body's job is to keep you alive, not help you follow a program. So if restriction lasts long enough, Your hunger may increase because the system is trying to bring you back to balance. So the question may not simply be why the weight will not come off and stay off. Sometimes the real question isn't just how to lose the weight. It's whether there are strings attached to why you want to. Weight loss can quietly carry expectations with it. The idea that you'll finally feel confident, be taken seriously, improve your relationships, or even gain approval. Without realizing it, the goal shifts from health to meeting an expectation that may have come from family, culture, social media, the medical world, or something you picked up early on in life. So it helps to ask more honest questions. Is the desire coming from how you want to feel inside your own body or how you think you're supposed to look in someone else's eyes? Because the answer to that may change how you approach everything that follows. And that's usually where the real work actually begins. We live inside one of the most remarkable biological systems imaginable. Yet most of us were never given a manual for how to live in it. Your heart beats without instruction. Your lungs breathe. Your blood circulates. Your cells regenerate. And you do not have to tell the body how to perform any of this. I think that's pretty amazing. But out of all the systems in the body that operate automatically, the breath is one of the few that we can intentionally influence, which tells us about how intelligent our body is. With our breath, we can influence how emotions move through the body. We can slow it down. We can speed it up. We can even stop it. And what an incredible gift that is. Most diets are not designed to teach someone how to live in their body. They're designed to produce weight loss. And most diets are temporary, but our beautiful bodies are not. The human body will function in rhythms, not by rules. Our hunger will change. Our needs will shift based on stress, sleep, movement, and our environment. But when strict rules are imposed on the body will eventually push back. Most diet structures, they're built as if the body were a machine that should perform the same way every single day. Your hunger on Monday is not going to be the same as your hunger on Thursday. Your energy in the winter is going to be different than that in the summer, and your needs during stress will be different than when your body is calm and regulated. A woman's hormonal system alone shifts in a single month in ways that will influence her appetite, her mood, her stress levels. And if you know, you know. The body is not predictable. And most diet plans, they're built to be able to give to anyone. And diets, they rarely account for these hormonal changes. They give fixed instructions for a body that is constantly adapting. Eat this, don't eat that. Eat less, exercise more, right? So when our body doesn't respond exactly as we expected, we assume that we did something wrong instead. So we want to ask what the body is trying to tell us. This is where many people will start to distrust themselves. If our hunger increases, we might think we failed, but if our energy drops, we might think that we need more discipline. When our weight fluctuates, and newsflash, it will, we think our effort wasn't good enough. But fluctuation does not mean failure. It's normal human biology. The body is always adjusting to the environment it lives in. We may have sleep loss, be under emotional stress, even under eating. And overtraining can affect it. The body is going to organize itself around what it experiences, not what we intend. And here's what most people are never taught. The body doesn't care about your timeline. It cares about survival. It just wants to keep you alive. So if your stress stays high and your nourishment is inconsistent, the body is going to shift into protection mode. Your energy is conserved. Your non-essentials like digestion, they slow down. Your hunger signals can become louder while the body is also able to not able to digest food as well. These mixed signals can feel confusing, but they're predictable. They're predictable side effects of stress in the body. The body is not trying to ruin your plan. It is simply trying to keep you alive. When you understand this, we can stop fighting the body and labeling cravings as a weakness, and our focus can shift towards what conditions the body is actually reacting to. This is where weight loss stops being about more control and becomes about understanding the body signals, and this builds trust. And when trust returns, the body is able to communicate with you better. This is where a lot of the problems begin. Diets are framed as something you begin and eventually end. And bodies are not meant for these kinds of restrictions for long periods. If we stay in restriction for too long and nourishment is inconsistent and stress remains elevated, the body is going to compensate. Our hunger may intensify, and people often overeat and conclude that the lack of willpower is the explanation. But willpower is not something that is given to you or taken away. It is an emotional response that must be self-created. When the body is under-resourced, our willpower is going to crash. We can then look at what conditions are present and what might be missing. If we place blame, that would assume that the body cannot be trusted. Hunger, it's a biological signal. Cravings, they're also signals. If we regain weight, it does not mean we failed. It means something in the body was not interpreted correctly. Most people were taught that when these signals show up, we're not following the rules, and rarely do we stop and ask what is missing. We just assume we need to tighten things up again. When I decided to lose weight for the very last time, it was 2020. I committed to what I believed would be my last and final diet. I made the decision in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve. I went all in with the belief that after I was going to lose it and keep it off, that I would never do another diet. After I lost 50 pounds, I really thought I achieved success. But I began to notice all the people in the group I was in. They all started gaining the weight back, and all of them returned to the program. And I was getting discounts and invitations to come back as well. Like they assumed that I needed to lose weight again. I thought, if they did their job right, why do I need to come back? So when I gained 8 pounds back, I knew going back would not teach me anything new. I started asking different questions. What was missing from the bigger picture? What didn't I learn? What part of the picture did I not yet understand? I knew that so many others had lost weight and kept it off long term, so I became very curious about what they understood that was not part of the mainstream conversation. What knowledge existed outside of strict rules, plans, and all the short-term strategies? What was being overlooked when weight loss was treated as something to achieve rather than something to understand? So when I found the missing pieces, I lost that 8 pounds and another 15 after that, and I have successfully kept it off since then. I like to think that when we are born, we're handed a box of puzzle pieces. It isn't a complete box, and most of the pieces belong in our own picture. The sum of these pieces are meant to exchange with other people as we move through life. We start by building the frame. We learn to crawl, then walk, and then we learn who our family is and where we fit in. And just like a real puzzle, the edges come together before the full image makes sense. As life goes on, pieces get added one at a time. School, learning to read and write, new experiences, new skills. Our world will expand, and we begin to express who we are. No two puzzles ever look the same. Even if people share similar pieces, the way they come together is going to be personal. And sometimes someone will hand you a piece you didn't know you were missing. It might be a conversation, a podcast, a song, or a sentence that just finally clicks. And when it fits, you just can't unknow it. There's other times that we try to force pieces that almost fit, and for a while, it looks close enough. but eventually you can feel that it's off. And when the right pieces show up, it settles in without pressure. That's real understanding. So most of the time, those pieces, missing pieces, they're going to show up through interactions with other people. And that's when I realized maybe I wasn't missing discipline. Maybe I was missing understanding. And that curiosity led me deeper into understanding the body itself. Instead of trying to control it, I started to pay attention to it. Hunger, cravings, and weight changes, they stopped looking like problems and started looking like information. Every symptom is a signal, like a dashboard light in the car. If the gas light comes on, you don't panic and trade in the car. You simply go fill your tank. But when the body sends a signal, most people react very differently. We don't get curious. We make it mean something about us. We tell ourselves we messed up or that we just don't have enough willpower and that the body responds to that reaction too. The way you talk to yourself about what's happening changes what happens next. Stress, it can affect your blood sugar, your cortisol, your sleep, even fat storage over time. So the signal is only part of the story. The meaning you attach to it becomes part of the input. Two people can feel the same signal and end up in completely different places. One may think, I blew it, get frustrated, and that frustration can lead to overeating. And the other one treats it as feedback and adjusts the food, rest, or stress. The signal was the same, but the response changed the direction. It really comes down to how we read and what the body is telling us. When you understand the signal instead of fighting it, your tension is going to drop and the body doesn't have to push back. And that's when regulation can actually begin. So these signals, they're not punishment. They're a request for attention. And when we ignore them, they are going to get louder. Pausing, it breaks that automatic reaction. It gives you a moment to notice what's actually happening. Because the body, it doesn't run on food alone. It responds to sleep, hydration, stress, emotional load, and your recovery too. Food matters, but it's only one piece of the puzzle. For many years, I cleaned houses. Sometimes a mirror, it might look clean when you look straight at it. But if you bent down and looked up at the mirror, there would be streaks that appeared. It was in that observation that it was able to be truly clean. The mirror did not change, but my perspective did. Weight loss is similar. From one angle, it looks like willpower. But from another angle, it's really about what your body has been dealing with lately. So when hunger or cravings ramp up, we don't need more discipline. We need better questions. Have you been sleeping? Are you hydrated? Are you actually satisfied after your meal? And how stressed have you been? The body is giving us signals. Most people were not taught to pay attention to what our body is saying. And in that lack of awareness, we have learned to second guess what the body is saying or to ignore it completely. Everything we do sends a message to the body. And the weight loss that follows the message you create, it's not the effort that you have to enforce. So this really isn't about adding stricter rules, about learning how to hear the signals again. And that needs awareness, not more force. The real shift will happen when you stop handing your authority over your body to plans that were never built for you as an individual and start learning what your body needs instead. Your body doesn't respond to promises or motivation. It responds to what you live in every day. So when something feels off, it's time to start asking better questions. And we can start listening in a different way. When this shift starts to happen, weight loss stops being something you have to chase and becomes the natural result of a body that finally feels supported. Now, a lot of people, they don't actually know what real hunger feels like. Habit, emotion, boredom, stimulation, all of that can feel the same if you've never learned the difference. Once you do, food will become simpler. Satisfaction is clearer, and hunger stops feeling urgent. I hear this all the time. I can't just not eat, especially in social situations. But if food is there and you don't want it, no thank you is a complete sentence. So if you already know that the options are not going to work for you, decide ahead of time, eat before you go, or bring something with you that you do want. Make the decision before you're standing there hungry and overstimulated. And also, skipping a meal isn't a crisis. Your body has stored energy on it. What changes everything is learning the difference between real hunger and all the other signals that can feel like it. When you stop forcing weight loss and start supporting the body that produces it, weight loss becomes a natural outcome instead of constant effort. Most people do not know what true satisfaction feels like in the body with food. True biological hunger followed by true biological satisfaction is often unfamiliar territory. It was a signal I also had to learn to feel, and I had to activate it in my body. When someone follows a diet plan, they eat the amount of food written on the plan and they stop because the rules say to stop. Their body's signals may or may not agree with that decision. And over time, those signals get quieter because they're no longer being listened to. Eating to satisfaction, it feels different. The stopping point comes from inside the body. And there's a subtle sense that enough has been reached and hunger fades. But many of us have learned to eat past that point because the brain never clearly receives this message that the body is done. So people end up overeating and still feel like they could keep going. Now, normally, hormones such as leptin tell the brain it has had enough food. And when that signal is off or delayed, the message is faint. And a person can be physically full, even uncomfortably full, yet still feel unsatisfied and continue eating. And that's why someone can finish a meal, feel stuffed, and still look for something sweet or more food. The stomach can be full, but the brain never registers satisfaction. Over time, this means that we need to start to listen to our music. When the body becomes regulated, you don't have to force yourself to stop eating. You naturally lose interest because the body says, that's enough. And the brain actually hears it. So if you've been eating by rules for years, satisfaction can be hard to recognize because you were never using that signal in the first place. So if at first it will not feel obvious, you actually have to slow down a little and notice what is happening while you eat. Halfway through the meal, how does your body feel? Do you feel steady afterwards or do you crash? Most people were never taught to pay attention this way. That awareness grows only when you listen instead of rushing past it. And in the beginning, it can feel strange and unfamiliar. When something feels unfamiliar, the instinct is to ignore it or assume it means something is wrong. But usually it just means that you're finally noticing a signal that has been there the whole time. So when you begin to notice the difference between true hunger and eating out of habit, boredom, stress, or simply because food is there, everything starts to make more sense. Hunger will become clearer. Satisfaction becomes easier to feel, and food stops feeling complicated. As your body learns that it will be fed consistently and that you are actually paying attention, the urgency around food will calm down. The body is not working against you. It has been reacting to the signals outside of you. And that's why learning to listen to your body changes everything.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.